I'm going to read verses 12 to 16 this evening of Romans 8. Let's hear now God as He speaks in His Word. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Let's pray together. Lord, from these words we pray that you give us an understanding of what Paul is talking about, what you inspired Paul to teach us, right, regarding the leading of the Holy Spirit of the children of God. And we pray also, Lord, though, that you will also inform us and give us broader understanding of what Scripture teaches concerning guidance from our Heavenly Father. Give to us an understanding of the whole picture this evening, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking at the security of sonship. We looked at that last week. And there were four grounds of security that were cited here in this passage of Romans 8. First of all, the Spirit includes us in the family of God. That's one benefit. The other is the Spirit liberates us from the bondage of sin and gives to us confidence before God. Third, the Spirit assures our hearts as He testifies with them. And today, now, we're going to devote ourselves a special attention to the fourth of these securities, and that is the Spirit leads us. We're talking about the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, whenever we're talking about the leading of the Holy Spirit, most people generally think about guidance. And then when we talk about guidance, many are thinking about the Holy Spirit speaking to their heart and directing their choices. Throughout church history, from the time of Tertullian right up to David Wilkerson and so on, there's always been a school of teaching that claims the Holy Spirit leads us by ongoing revelation, messages to our hearts. While we all need guidance in our choices, this is different from the leading of the Holy Spirit spoken of in Romans 8. And so we can't get the two confused. But we will try to put them together to resolve this big question about how the Spirit leads us, how the Spirit guides us. Well, what are we talking about by the leading of the Holy Spirit? Let's just nail that right down, right from Romans 8. What are we talking about? Well, Daniel Doriani, referring to Romans 8:14, he says, Paul is saying nothing more and nothing less than this is what defines a Christian. A Christian is one who is led by the Spirit. He says, tempted as we might be to consider the Spirit's leading as referring to guidance for vocation, is the Spirit leading me to change jobs? Or matrimony, is the Spirit leading me to marry him or her? This is not what Paul has in view. So we engage in doing what under the leading of the Holy Spirit? He presses the point, the leading of the Holy Spirit has to do with rejecting sin and following righteousness. For those who are led by the Spirit do not walk according to the flesh. Now, James Boyce agrees pretty much with this. He says, to be a Christian means to be led by God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within every genuine Christian. Being a Christian also means that we are led by the same Spirit. It means that we will be growing in holiness increasingly. That's the leading of the Holy Spirit, as these men are defining it from this passage. Yet this does not attempt, and these men are not attempting to cover the whole subject of man's need of guidance in life. There's no question that God's people need spiritual guidance. Jeremiah the prophet said in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So we do not live, we recognize that we do not live in a mechanistic, materialistic world with just do's and don'ts all the time. Spiritual forces bear down on our judgments and we get confused. And so Jeremiah rightly describes it, the fact the man just doesn't understand himself. He can't even direct his own steps because of them. On the one hand, you might have the testimony of the law of God in your heart, and that's pulling you in one direction. On the other hand, you might have the influence of the god of this world who blinds the eyes, and we have spiritual warfare going on. Then Paul talks about this, the old man in the flesh. That pulls us yet another direction, Ephesians 4:22. So you could be following the wrong way, then you're going to end up in the wrong destination depending on the influence that is directing you. Moreover, God has promised to lead His children, though. He's promised to lead His children in paths of life, not just in choosing right from wrong, but, well, the well-known passage of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him," and what? "He will direct your way," your paths, yeah. And Isaiah 53, 11, "Then your light shall dawn in darkness, and the darkness is noonday, and the Lord will guide you continually," he says. Or Psalm 23, "He leads us in the paths of righteousness." And so we find the Scripture does make many promises concerning leading from God. But we did need to get through the question of what was Romans 8 talking about. Let's move on, though. As we see, the leading of the Holy Spirit has to do with conforming to the holiness and the law of God, yet we also have promises that the Lord will guide us. We ask next, then, how does God guide His children? And you notice the first question had to do with how does the Holy Spirit lead. Now we're asking, how does God guide? They're not necessarily the same. If God guides, who decides? God has promised to guide His children in two ways. First of all, God guides by the revelation of the Scriptures. He gives us clear understanding by the Holy Scriptures that the man may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:17. The Westminster Shorter Catechism tells us the question 3. What do the Scriptures principally teach? The Scriptures principally teach what a man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. That's the Holy Scriptures. This answers the questions about right and wrong and about what God's will for you. We are guided by that. But many feel as though there are occasions when the Scriptures are silent and their immediate practical decisions are not found on the pages of the Bible. People have a lot of ideas at this point. Some answer in terms of outward circumstances. If God opens certain doors, if God closes other doors, that's clearly a directive that that's His will. Opportunity knocks. That must be God guiding me, they say. Others say, let's look for special feelings or intimations in your heart. Even special revelation when the Lord spoke to me and said, act now, do this, get that car, get that woman or man or whatever. And we scratch our heads and say, that's a dangerous way of thinking. But it's futile to deny that God never acts remarkably in His leading. As you're all familiar with the story of Augustine, he was converted. How was he converted? His whole life was changed by hearing neighbor's child singing the words, tole lege, which means take, read. Take what? Take what? Well, there's a Bible sitting on the bench right beside him. And he picked up the Bible and turned to a passage at random. It fell upon verses that spoke to a specific need, and the rest is history. It's amazing. So we have to understand that God does work in remarkable ways sometimes. But if that's the way God works with all people, then there are a great many Christians who are saved by faith alone who couldn't say that they're led by the Spirit, if that's what he means by led by the Spirit. But also we're taught that God leads another way, not only by a special revelation of the Holy Word of God, but God also guides us by illumination of the Spirit. And that's the ability to discern the will of God. Now, Pentecostals, Charismatics, and other proponents of direct guidance teach that God speaks directly to us today as He did in biblical times. They believe that the historical accounts of the Bible are normative for all time. So if God tells Elijah to flee and get to the brook Cherith, okay, we should be listening to God to tell us that. And when God says, rise up and go to the widow, then we should be listening for God to tell us to do things like that. That seems to be the way they think and teach, in fact. And indeed, God has spoken to His servants, the prophets, in these ways, and to His apostles also. Jesus also, in Mark 16, 17, and 18, said that there would be remarkable signs that accompany those who believe, in speaking in tongues and so on. Well, what do we make of all of this? Visions and tongues. Yes, Joel prophesied that the young men would see visions. And Peter then stood up on Pentecost saying, this is being fulfilled before your very eyes with the powering out of the Holy Spirit. What do we do with all of these things, these special events in which God is leading us in special ways? Well, we've got to stop right there and ask the one question. When God guides these people, is He telling them what to do in their personal lives? Or is His guidance directed toward what He is going to do? And in all these events in which there is a message from God in the Scriptures to the prophets and servants and the apostles, it didn't have to do with who you're going to marry or what job you should take or these kind of things. It all had to do with what God is doing in history, what God is going to use them as His servants for. And hence, it wasn't self-directed, as so many guidance teachers, spiritual guidance teachers, say today. Now, we do have an understanding, though, that when we open the Holy Scriptures, and we know these things are true, when the Holy Scriptures are open to us and we read passages and we study these passages, they mean something more. They say something today that they didn't say, that I didn't see yesterday. We go through an ordeal in which we don't know what to do when someone points out a passage of Scripture that we should read. And suddenly light comes to our understanding and we know how to respond to our dilemma, our situation. And what came of it? Well, it was in the Scriptures, but it was more than that. It was the Holy Spirit acting in the Scriptures to direct us for greater understanding. But it all had to do with God's precepts. It didn't have to do with what color socks I should put on in the morning. And so we go back to Paul's meaning in Romans 8:14, as Dr. Boyce observed. If being led by the Spirit is what it means to be a Christian, and if that's what it means to be led, then most of us are not Christians, for the obvious reason that most of us don't commonly experience immediate messages from God like Augustine did and some people do. No, rather, when I lean upon the Holy Scriptures and I trust in God and with a listening heart, I'm ready to obey, the Lord then has set my heart up to receive understanding. And He gives us an understanding heart. That's illumination. But let's go to the third question then. What is the Holy Spirit's role in leading us? The Holy Spirit leads as we walk in the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit's role in leading us. Romans 8:14, Paul talks not about guidance, but about walking in the Spirit. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not according to the flesh, but walk with, literally, with or according to the Spirit. The idea here is he is telling us that the Holy Spirit works in such a way as not to superimpose a message of God stamped upon our hearts, as it would be new revelation, as the prophets and apostles did, where the Holy Scriptures God breathed. Because He's directing the hearts of the men who did not write according to their own feelings, but according to the will of God. It's not like that at all with us. With us, it's a matter of walking with the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit is to walk with the Spirit. Another way of putting it is, set your mind on spiritual things. Verses 5 and 6. That's walking in the Spirit. And not according to the flesh. Verse 13. He goes on to explain the Spirit's testimony that we are the sons of God in verse 15. And what do the sons of God do? They cry out, Abba, Father. And as I mentioned last week, is it we or the Spirit who is crying out? According to the Galatians passage, it's the Spirit crying out. Here is the Spirit testifying with our spirits. Where does one stop and the other continue? I don't know. But I know that both are going on at the same time. Did I receive special revelation from God, like handwriting on the wall, you are now henceforth the Son of God? No. The conviction in my heart convinced me. And I came to that conclusion myself, and yet not all by myself, but by the Spirit testifying with my heart, giving me faith and convicting me of realities that the natural man does not receive. This is how we pray. Do you feel like you're driven by power every time you pray to utter words that you didn't even know you were going to say? No, when we pray, what are you praying? You're praying from your heart. You're praying out of compassion. You're interceding for one another. You love one another. Well, what is this? It's the love of the Spirit. And who is praying? It's you praying? Oh, yes, but it's the Spirit praying in you. And it says, and as it goes on in Romans 8, the Spirit actually intercedes for us with the Father, even when we cannot find words to say. Yet it is we who are expressing them, but the Holy Spirit as well. You see how it is walking with the Spirit. According to verse 16, does the Spirit tell us that we're the children, or are we convinced in our own? The Spirit is testifying with our children, testifying with our spirits. Here's another way of looking at it. Matthew 11, 29 and 30, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then what does he say? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you shall find rest unto your souls. What does it mean taking his yoke? Does it mean then following behind? No. Does it mean going ahead of Christ? No. Does it mean you're out on your own? No. Does it mean you're going on your own strength? No. It means that you're taking the yoke of Christ that binds you with Him, and the two of you are walking together, yoked together, moving in the same direction together. That's how the Holy Spirit's role picks up in our lives. We're walking together. Paul's not talking about getting messages from the Spirit, but about living quickened lives by the Spirit, serving Christ, hoping in God, praying, loving others, and all of that is from the Spirit, and yet it is we who are doing it. And so as we follow the Holy Scriptures, which is the special revelation, the Holy Spirit leads us in our lives, which is illumination. That's how the Holy Spirit leads. Now, the question may come up then, are there not times when God gives us inner promptings and messages? Like Augustine, under a remarkable coincidental situation? Well, yes, very much in the way that the Lord moved David. In 1 Samuel 24, when David was hiding in the cave and Saul came in, Saul laid down. David could have killed Saul while he was sleeping in the cave. But his heart was smitten with the word, touch not the Lord's anointed. There's the special revelation. But his heart being smitten, you see, was the Holy Spirit. His information came from the word, but the Holy Spirit moved his heart to take the right action in this situation. And why is this? Because David is a man after God's own heart. The Word is not merely a long string of principles and precepts, you see. The Word is alive. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword because it is moved by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It works as an influence in our lives. So we become aware of God's will in our lives as we live it out. So you see, it's not as though we're simply following a rule book for guidance of Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is giving us understanding, applying it to our lives, exposing our sins, granting faith to follow, what we have come to understand. So the teaching of the Holy Scriptures and the leading of the Holy Spirit are inseparable. If Scripture perfects the man of God, thoroughly furnishes him to all good works, then Scripture is doing just exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing as He sanctifies us. The Scripture is causing us to walk in the Spirit. The Scripture is confirming our confidence that we are the children of God. The Scripture is teaching us how to pray and stir our hearts to hope and future inheritance. And as we're instructed by the Word of God, we then learn to put aside the lusts of the flesh and the things that detract us from listening to God. From Scripture, we develop affections and perspective on life that frames our decisions and the personal, practical choices that we make every day. But if we stop listening to the Word, we're also going to smother the transforming influence of the Holy Spirit and start following the lusts of our own hearts and our desires. Like, compare Lot with Abraham. Lot was interested only in worldly possession. Abraham had set his affection on the city whose builder and maker is God. All of this plays into action. Lot was going by Abraham's direction and provision. Abraham was going by the revelation of God. Now, when there was a choice to be given then, this land over here, which is fertile and abundant near Sodom and Gomorrah, or that land over there. And Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw the green and fertile land. And he chose for himself according to the lust of his eyes. But God taken Abraham out one night and he said, "Lift up your eyes to the stars. So shall your seed be. And you will be a blessing to all nations." The difference between the two became apparent in the choice they made. Lot lost everything. Abraham was guided by God to be a righteous man and a prosperous man as a result. That is the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now add to this then our providential experiences. Guided by the spiritual instruction of the Scriptures and the Spirit's illumination, then, we begin to develop discernment and perspective on life so that we can become wise to guide and help others who are still struggling to make decisions. We, as we grow in understanding of the Scriptures and of life and God's providence, we learn to be resolute when we're faced with hard choices. Whereas before we would not have been so resolute because we would have been detracted by lusts and desires. We recognize paths that lead to temptation and we learn to abstain from fleshly lusts that can thwart and distort our thinking. We show forbearance to others and look first to their interests as Philippians 2 teaches us in the likeness of Christ. We exercise temperance in all things. That is, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Increasing discernment, increasing influence of the Scriptures teaches me what I can eat, what I can't eat, what I can drink, what I can't drink. Is this the leading of the Holy Spirit? You bet it is. Wow, and something just as simple as that? Yes. In everything. And we learn to wait on the Lord when we would have reacted to circumstances. I'm looking for a message. I'm looking for a message, and God didn't give me a message, so I made a decision. You jumped the gun. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Psalm 27. And so, not only did the person who waited on the Lord get the answer he was seeking, but he learned to wait on the Lord all the more in the future. That is the leading of the Holy Scriptures. So you see, God's guidance and leading go beyond just the head knowledge. It goes to heart knowledge. It gives us spiritual instincts. Inseparably involved it is with our sense of being a member of God's family. We go where our Father moves us. God is writing the law, His law, upon our hearts, so we may recognize His promptings and answer the echo of His voice in our heart as He persuades us by principles imprinted on our hearts by the Word of God. So if we follow, if we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, there's no other way we can be sure that we're following unless we test it with the Holy Scriptures. But just Scripture knowledge itself is not sufficient. We need to fear God and listen. We know that what displeases God, so let's not quench the Spirit. Let's not grieve the Spirit. And in every practical decision, let us consider the spiritual end and make a godly choice by faith. And we may be sure that as God guides you, He will bless you on your journey through rough times and smooth. With this confidence, let's come to Him in prayer. Lord, we all have a lot of growing up to do. We thank You for the Word that You've taught us. We ask, O Lord, that You will also help us to apply it, meditate upon it, to swallow it and digest it, and then to seek You in all that we do. Make apparent to us, O Lord, in our daily lives, each step that we take, that it be pleasing to You. And during the hard times of choice, when it doesn't seem as though we know exactly what You want us to do, give to us faith to wait, or understanding enough to apply the principles of the Word of God. Teach us, Lord, we pray, to seek Your will by referring to the Scriptures, by burying ourselves in the Word of God, and so illuminating our minds and things of our lives and things concerning Your will for us that we would not have seen before. But help us realize, Lord, we have a lot of growing up to do. There is still so much to understand from that which we have already read many times. And there is, oh Lord, so many things to learn from the way You have guided us in our lives and the chastisements we've received and the lessons we've learned. Lead us in these ways, oh Lord, and may we truly be confident that as children of God, we are truly being led by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask You this. Amen. And let's sing, He Leadeth Me, hymn 500. Hymn 500.